This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us. It is hour number two as we head in on a Tuesday. We got the top five and the bottom five coming up this hour. Josh Alper, ProFootballTalk.com. Will take us around the NFL after 10 weeks are now in the books. Well, we've reached that point already. I know I keep saying it, but it is amazing. It is amazing. And good for the league. So far, so good, right? We've rescheduled a few games, but so far, so good on the scheduling and getting everything in. I didn't think we would. I mean, anybody that was realistic about what this virus was doing when you put up the circumstances that the NFL was putting together, probably not very many people thought things would kind of go as smoothly as it has. We've had some hiccups, but those are kind of part of the, no one thought we weren't going to have any. It's very similar to what I said last week about college football, right? Everybody's making a big deal about all these games being postponed, but I think every single commissioner in every single conference knew that that was going to happen. I doubt one commissioner in college football thought, no, we're going to go through this completely unscathed. We are going to go through this without any sort of problems whatsoever. I think everybody said, yeah, you know what? We'll probably lose a few games. It's just the nature of this virus. And the NFL's cruising along. Minnesota beating Chicago last night, 19-13. Says a lot about both teams and the directions that they're going. The Vikings have turned their season around a bit, now 4-5. And now in the conversation, if they put up some more wins in the next couple of weeks, to be in that group of teams that is competing for a wild card berth in the NFC. And the Bears are still in it at 5-5. The problem is the Bears are not only going in the other direction, they're going in the other direction fast. And that's what you don't want to see. It's one thing to start 3-2 and be 5-5, but to be 5-1 and be 5-5, things are coming off the wheels quickly. And now Nick Foles, it doesn't look like it's super serious. They have 2 weeks to figure out if he's going to play or not. Would they go back to Mitch Trubisky? If Nick Foles is at 90%, he probably goes. If he's at 80%, what does Matt Nagy do? Does he go back to Mitch Trubisky based on the percentage of health on his starting quarterback at this point? That's going to be a decision they've got 2 weeks to process. Some other injuries out there. Could it be affecting the top five, bottom five? You'll have to stick around to find out. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio.
In the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is time for top five, bottom five as we go through the best teams and the worst teams after week 10 of the NFL. We always start with the best and we go from five all the way up. If you'd like to give us your top five on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Spend Ron with two N's, please. Let's start with number five. This is where I put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a good bounce back victory for the Bucs. This was a mess on their way to Charlotte. They were on that tarmac forever and a day. But Tom Brady spread it around a bit. Tom Brady got a rushing touchdown. The defense did its job. The Panthers are not good, and they're not good without Christian McCaffrey. But still, to get beat 38-3 and then come back and put 46 on Carolina, good bounce win for the 7-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Even though they're not leading the division, I still put them in the top five.
Yeah, you know what? I did the same. I thought about bumping the Cardinals up. But I was like, you know what? Am I just still drinking the juice from that Hail Mary?
Or yeah, maybe so.
Hail Murray. Because that was fantastic. And the Cardinals may very well be on that trajectory to get into the top five. But we can't discount how Tom Brady bounced back. You know, and like the broadcast kept saying over and over and over again, he doesn't have two bad games in a row. Never
right.
has.
That's right.
And so, yeah, Buccaneers are back in the top five.
And again, we say this all the time when we talk about winning on the road. It's not the same with COVID, et cetera. But it is when you're on the tarmac for, what, 8 hours or whatever it was they were on, waiting to fly. That's a problem. That gets you out of the rhythm. You're traveling, even though you're going from Tampa to Charlotte. It's not like going to Seattle. But still, that's an issue. And they bounced back and played really well, really well. So that's why they are number five. Real quick, because I'm not going to talk about Arizona because they're not in either one, but somebody on Twitter made a really cool point about that stadium. I don't know if you saw this. That stadium has seen the helmet catch of David Tyree. It saw the interception with Malcolm Butler. It has saw the Hail Mary of Aaron Rodgers, and then now has seen the Hail Murray. It's a nice play. It's not that old, but yeah, it's seen some pretty historic moments.
But finally, the Cardinals got something.
Yeah, that's right. Finally got something.
They were on the wrong end of that Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary.
They were. That's right. Four on my list. This is where I put the Green Bay Packers. They should have beat Jacksonville more than they did, but this is the NFL. It's paid professionals on both sides. Sometimes you get a win. It's not exactly what the fans may have wanted. Maybe you didn't cover the spread. Maybe you should have won by double digits. Jacksonville is terrible. But the Packers did win. They are 7-2. And if I'm going to put Tampa on this list, then I have to put the Packers on this list. So that's where I put them.
Yep. Number four for me, Saints.
Saints.
Yeah, I even thought about dropping him out of the top five because missing Drew Brees, I think this is a completely different team.
Exactly.
But the fact is that they didn't really have Brees in the second half of that game anyways, and they were still able to find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what this means going forward. I don't know if you give the ball to Jameis Winston for a full game, what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to get 30-30 Jameis Winston because that'll be awesome. But for right now, they're still in the top five. I put them a notch above the Buccaneers just because the Saints as a team, especially that defense, just throttled Brady.
I put the Saints at... Go ahead.
And so that's why the Saints are number four.
I put the Saints at three, and I did it with a question mark because I'm like you. Now without Drew Brees for however long he's going to be out and Jameis Winston, I don't know where they are. But as of right now, they're at 7-2. That's why I put them at three. You're right. That's still a good win. That's still a team that got it done.
Yep.
They have now won six in a row. That win against Tampa Bay looks really impressive the more the Buccaneers continue to showcase who they can be when everything's working for them.
Yeah, and right? Maybe it was just an off night for
yep.
Brady.
Could be
and
just
the offense.
An off night. Could simply be that. You're right.
We're not 100% sure. And the fact that the Saints defense was able to hold them to just 3 points, that's why they're still in the top five.
It's funny about the Saints. They score a lot, but they're not like top five in passing or top two in running. And they don't throw out this eye popping identity of who they are. They're just a team that scores a lot of points. It's they find a way to score points. Alvin Kamara might start getting some MVP talk. I don't think it comes near where some others are, but he could be getting some talk as a possible MVP candidate. Maybe just one of those, who else should we be paying attention to type of things.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, well, number three for me is one of those MVPs, front-runner MVPs, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Wasn't a pretty win over the Jaguars, but let's face it. Conditions at Lambeau were terrible. It was
windy, they were bad.
It was cold, it was brutal, it had all those elements of Green Bay that make me realize that I don't ever want to live in Green Bay. So,
Upper Midwest. God bless all of you who live there.
Yeah,
I grew up in New England, so I know, but it's a different kind of cold.
That's a rough life. I the furthest north I've ever lived. I believe LA is further north than Houston. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you'll have to take a look at the equator, right?
Yeah,
the latitude.
I did grow up in Central California, so that's probably where. That's where I was as a kid, but I don't
know. You've never been woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning to help your father shovel snow?
No, but true story, I did help my grandfather once. And my grandfather and grandmother live in New York. So when I was younger, I was younger, I thought that was a real treat.
We used to have to go out and get wood. That was always the big thing for the fireplace. My father would go, guys, go out and get some wood. My brother and I'd have to go get our shoot boots on and our jacket to go trudge out to go get wood.
Again, I have been asked to do that, and I find that to be a real treat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I used to hate it. But
how many logs can I carry in? Look at my arms.
Real quick, I remember one time.
I do it every day.
We were all comfy. were really comfy. And my father said, go out and go get wood. And my brother and I said, fine, you want wood? We stacked the whole hallway with wood. Like, we don't want to hear this for the next week. I said, fine, here's all the wood you need. All right, number two on my list. All right, this is going to give it away.
Okay.
Kansas City.
Yeah, you had to. You better have done that.
It's a bye week. All right, it's a bye week. They are still phenomenal, but they are too. I punished my team last week for narrowly beating the Dallas Cowboys, but Kansas City has now been dropped to two.
I have
nothing else to say.
They kept the Chiefs at two.
That's exactly where
I'm smarter.
That's right.
I kept them there at two. I'm reading the tea leaves. I think and obviously our number ones are Steelers. This is a collision course, and I can't wait.
Oh, I know.
I can't wait. However, I do think that there's a serious game coming up for the Steelers on Thanksgiving night. That's going to be – well, then again, I don't know, because the Ravens – I don't know what to make of the Ravens.
Well, if Mike Tomlin can do that whole weather master thing – that Bill Belichick can do, he might be able to do something.
He didn't need to last time.
Yeah, well, that's true, but you're not going to beat Baltimore twice. You might need some help.
But this is the Ravens team. Like, who have they really beaten?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get down on Baltimore because that was a monsoon they played in.
Yeah, no, that was really nasty.
And they're still a nasty team. But still, I mean, Mike Tomlin needs to be like, I control the weather, I control the world. Conjure up a big storm to be pouring in. But Pittsburgh is back at one for me.
But honestly, I'm going to throw something out at you. Maybe, it's the same way that we looked at Chicago a while back.
Right.
As far as who the Ravens have beat this season, really the only impressive team is the Colts.
Yeah, but they still have Lamar Jackson.
I know they still have Lamar Jackson, but...
Like, the Bears have had Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles.
No, I know.
Like, you could say,
but
like,
I mean, they beat the Browns, they beat the Texans, they beat Washington, they beat Bengals, and they beat the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, I hope the Steelers beat them handily.
So, I mean, that's, you look at who they've won the games. I mean, they're winning the games that they're supposed to, but they couldn't get by the Steelers. They lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Chiefs.
They lost to the Chiefs. Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know what to make of this Ravens team, but Steelers, to me, I mean, they're the clear number one team in the NFL right now. I don't know. I don't even know how they're doing it.
The Steelers, look.
Wasn't Chase Claypool hurt for most of the game?
The Steelers at 9-0. This was the, look, it was windy. It was, the ball was fluttering all over the place. They were expected to beat Cincinnati, but here's the problem. Cincinnati has been proven to be a tough out, right? They're not a good team in terms of picking up wins and closing games. But they're in games. And that was the scary part about the Steelers, which is you're letting a team hang around, and all you need is a mistake. All you need is a blown coverage. All you need is a fumble at the wrong time. And the team you're supposed to take care of takes off and wins that game. The Steelers didn't let that happen. This was a dominating performance. It was that way against the Cowboys. They let Garrett Gilbert throw a pass into the end zone that would have won the game outright. They allowed Dallas to have an opportunity at the end of the game to win it outright, a walk-off victory. But Cincinnati never gave them the chance to breathe. They were up 12-0, never looked back, never was close. It might was close to 12-7 in the second, but that's it. Never was close. They got Ben Roethlisberger threw four touchdowns in wintry conditions, kind of windy conditions. It was deserving of moving back to number one.
Yes.
Who knows where they'll be playing Jacksonville, another team that they might play down to, but we'll see. But can I say this honestly? I look at the schedule, and I know I've said this since the start of this run. I never felt the Steelers were 16-0 good. But it does reach a point where in the season where you go, all right, maybe they can do this.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they can do this. Like, when they're 5-0, it's like, we got a long way to go. Don't even start that conversation.
Yep.
But if they beat Jacksonville, they'll be 10-0. If they were to win at home against Baltimore Thanksgiving, all of a sudden you're looking at Washington, Cincinnati, the Browns are on your schedule, and you got a tough game against the Bills and possibly the Colts, and that's it. You don't play Kansas City. You're not playing anybody from the NFC East. I mean, from the NFC that's tough. So it's not like you're playing the West this year. You've been given the NFC East, which is weak.
Yeah.
This could be shaping up to
it. It could be. And then, I mean, it's... it is that thing where you look at it, like, I know for you, you're going to say no, because you know what? This team will probably beat the Ravens. They'll probably beat the Colts. They'll probably beat the Bills, but they're going to lose a game against Cleveland just because.
That's right. That's what happens.
You know, or is it one of those situations where they go, because their final game is against Cleveland, right?
I believe so.
Is that the game that they lose because they've already clinched the number one seed and they're sitting everybody?
And they're sitting everybody, right. Right. And if you have a chance to go 16-0, do you take it because of history? Yeah,
right.
You probably do. All right, that's top five. We'll get to bottom five when we come back. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for bottom five. Before we get to that, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, bottom five. We move from 28 on up to 32. So we're going to start at 28. Now, I preface this by saying they might not really be the 28th worst team in the NFL.
Yes.
They're on my list because it's kind of aggravating. All right. I could pick any one of the NFC East teams and whatnot, but I'm going at 28 with the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
The Denver Broncos are terrible. They're really, really bad. And Drew Locke is not good at all. Four turnovers in their loss this weekend. He has the worst completion rate in the league. He is seven. He's got seven passing touchdowns. That's 28th in the league. He has 10 picks. That is second most in this league. This team is not good. This team should be better. He's supposed to have taken that next step. Denver is bad. They're 2-5 in games in which he plays, and he missed some games already this year. He is looking like another John Elway failure. Sorry, but Denver is 28 right now.
There's no reason to apologize.
All right.
I believe you should have them there.
There are some other teams with worse records and whatnot.
Of course.
I mean, the Broncos are 3-6.
Yes, but I mean, they're just not looking good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
20 for me. This is where I put the Washington football team.
Washington football team.
Now, I preface it by saying this. Would I have moved them out of the top or bottom five had they came back and beat the Lions? I don't know. But the fact is that you had to come back to beat the Lions to do it.
Yeah,
and
right.
The Lions aren't a great football team. They flirted in the bottom five for us a couple of times. You know what? For me, it's Alex Smith. Just give him the comeback trophy now because I don't want him to do anything to jeopardize it or ruin it.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I don't want this feel-good story to turn into, boy, he really is struggling with a bad football team. I'd rather just be like, the fact that he's playing is a miracle. Let's enjoy the miracle.
Let's just keep it at that. We don't want the narrative of, man, maybe he shouldn't be playing football. He
looks exactly.
like he's, you know, just gun-shy on that leg and da-da-da-da. Yeah. So, I don't know. They're just not a good football team.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the kind of the premise for the bottom five is that they're just not a good football team.
29 on my list are the Houston Texans at 2-7. It's funny. I kind of wish Nick Chubb would have scored and said, you know what? We think you're so bad, it really doesn't matter. I have no belief in you scoring twice in the next minute because you stink. So I'm going to get my statistics and we still believe you won't pull off this miracle comeback. But he pulled off at the 1 yard line. They took knees and were done and was 10-7. It could have been a lot worse. Boy, no matter, I don't care. Wind, rain, sun, indoors, outdoors, Houston just can't seem to pick off a victory. The only wins they have are against Jacksonville. That is all they have. They've tried everybody, the good, the weak, whatever. The only team they're beating up are the Jags. Houston is 29.
29 for me?
Yeah.
Houston Texans.
Houston Texans.
I felt the same exact way you did. I think it's kind of funny still that Nick Chubb just ran out of bounds right there at the end so they can kneel it. And that's just how bad it is. Personally, I would have loved to have seen him run across the face of the goal line, never going in.
Sure. You know, why not? Pull that off.
A la Deshaun Jackson on that punt return or whatever it was. Just run down the face. Maybe run back to the Texans defense. And say, hey, you guys forgot to tackle me and come back and just keep running around. This team is terrible.
Really bad.
It is absolutely. And what makes it even worse is when you can't help but look at your big offseason trade.
Yep. How that's panning out.
You trade away your biggest weapon on offense, Deshaun Watson's safety blanket, if you will. And what did he do this weekend? Oh, he just caught he was on the receiving end of the Hail Mary and is now in Cardinals folklore forever.
Yeah, it's so difficult, especially with, like, you know, Johnson is on the IR with the concussion. It just, to clean house like that, to play salary cap game over talent and what you need, it's just sad. And it's amazing how the Texans were a team that, you know, right, taking steps, now 2-7 and in our bottom five, and have been in our bottom five a couple of times this year for being a bad football team.
Yeah, I mean, but they are. They're a bad football team. I mean, you remember at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't put them in the bottom five because we were giving them the benefit of the doubt that they were playing a rough schedule.
That's right. That's right. Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers to start the year.
Now we're looking back on it going, maybe it wasn't a rough schedule.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, number 30 on my list. This is where I put Washington. I think you hit the nail on the head. If they had come back and beat the Lions, it would still be eh. But I'm with you. I don't want the Alex Smith story. He threw for 390 yards on 38 completions on 55 attempts. Come on. That's a miracle. This is a miracle story. It really is. I mean, it really is. I mean, it was no joke, that injury. This was not people playing up the injury and making it, you know, making it look worse than it really was. This was really bad. He almost lost his leg. If you go from almost losing your leg to being able to play back into the National Football League, that's miraculous. But
to starting a game.
National
Football League.
To starting a game. A league that does not have any sympathy. It doesn't have any feel-good moments. It doesn't have time for that. The roster spots are too important to be giving it to a guy just to make a Disney movie out of. This is a great story, but the more they lose, I don't want it to get washed, right? I don't want people starting to talk about other comebacks because the comebacks were successful. This is the comeback of comebacks. Yeah, you're right. Name the award after him already.
Yeah, just give it to him now. That way we don't ruin it at the end of the year.
Exactly. 30 for you.
Number 30 for me. This is where I have the Jaguars.
Jaguars.
I bumped them up a notch because, you know what? They had a gritty performance against the Packers.
They did.
They got me to a point believing that old Jake, what's his last name, Luton?
Jake Luton.
We'll figure it out by the time he's not a starting quarterback anymore.
Oregon State. We can't even get his name right.
I know, but he had me believing. Because remember last week, what did we talk about? The whole thing we talked about was, hey, listen, if this team is to win, this team goes to 6-3. This team wins, they become 6-3. We could have had 11 6-3 teams. It would never have happened because we knew that the Jaguars would have had to have beaten the Packers in order to make that happen.
Exactly. And they had a lead in the fourth quarter.
That's why I had to bump them up one notch.
All right. I wasn't as kind. I put Jacksonville at 31 because they've lost 8 in a row. But I'm with you in that thought. It's nice to see this kid in his second start play with the, you know, sort of moxie that you need to play. You can't go out there and be scared of the moment. You got to know what you got to do, and you just go out there and try to do it. Maybe that's the attitude he has. He's like, all right, I'm just going to do what I got to do. Does Jacksonville scare me as they play Pittsburgh? No. If the Steelers beat themselves, Jacksonville is certainly capable of pulling off a win. But you're right. I mean, there's a little bit of flavor here to this kid. Minshew is throwing this week. Doesn't look like he'll play against the Steelers. But an 8-game losing skid is still tough to overlook. So they're 31 on my list.
Yeah, it makes that first win that they had, their only win that they had.
They beat the Colts. Yeah. They beat the Colts.
The Colts just weren't ready to play. That's all it is. Number 30 for me. This is where I have, or 31. This is where I had the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yeah. I feel like they lost this weekend.
Why did I? Because they did not play, I kept them out of my bottom five. I needed to put them in somewhere.
I still think they lost this weekend. I'm not 100% sure. I can't tell you that, but I dropped them down a notch just because the Jaguars played well against the Packers. The Cowboys lost a game on their bye week.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Jets.
I don't even know if that's real, but.
Jets at 32 for me.
Really?
They were on a bye week, thank God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is like it's like a permanent marker.
We should just start doing 27 to 31.
I know. Exactly. All right. Josh Alper will join us next. We'll go around the NFL now that Week 10 is done. As we continue along, Sports Map Radio. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, you just heard top five, bottom five here on Wake Up Call. Now it's time to go kind of around the league. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Listen, Minnesota last night, it's three straight wins. It wasn't pretty, but they have starting to turn their season around. What do you make of their turnaround? What has keyed it?
Well, I think they, you know, last night was a little bit of a different script because the running game never got going. But, I thought Dalvin Cook, obviously, the 2 weeks before this one had been tremendous. And, you know, I think you saw a defense that's started to figure out how to play without, you know, they lost a lot of guys, obviously, and Eric Kendricks got hurt last night, shaken up. But they figured out how to play and how to be successful. Now, some of that is obviously playing the Lions and the Bears helps. But they look good against the Packers too. And I thought Kirk Cousins was real good last night. I thought he was efficient. I thought that was a great throw to Thielen on the first touchdown pass. And, you know, I think they've done a better job protecting, a better job offensive line opening up holes. It just seems like a lot more like the team we expected to see coming into the year than the one that seemed to just, you know, come out of the gate and have no sense of what they were supposed to be doing.
And the Bears on the other side are falling apart offensively. They're struggling. They have been struggling. That doesn't seem to be an easy answer as they head into a bye week. But where has it gone wrong for the Bears offensively? They don't seem to be able to do anything right.
Well, I think you look exactly at the Vikings. You had Kirk Cousins struggling early this season. They went heavy. Dalvin Cook took the pressure off Kirk Cousins. And now it seems like, you know, Justin Jefferson's come along as a receiver. And obviously they still have Thielen and they found a way to make it work. On the Chicago side, you know, you have a great receiver in Allen Robinson who just you can't seem to get the ball to with any kind of regularity. The running game, obviously David Montgomery was out last night, but when Cordarrelle Patterson is your most effective running back, you have issues. And they don't seem to have any sense of how to get the run game going. They don't have any sense of how to get that offensive line group in a way that takes the pressure off the quarterbacks. Because whether it's Trubisky or Foles, if you're asking them to do this much every week, it just isn't going to work out. And, gosh, I they have a bye week, but it's hard to see how this gets dressed up. I mean, the personnel just isn't working for them. And it doesn't seem like there's a player that some diamond in the rough that they've yet to find because God knows they've been looking all year.
The NFC West with three teams at 6-3. All three of those teams have had great moments and some head scratching moments as well. If you're handicapping early, who's got some momentum as we head into the latter part of this season out of that division?
I'm sorry, which division?
The NFC West.
Oh, the NFC West. Well, I think that, you know, Thursday night's going to be huge for that. I think, you know, you were looking at the Cardinals staring at a second straight tough loss and obviously pulled the rabbit out of their hat and against the Seahawks team that, you know, this is the worst, I think, back-to-back performances we've seen from Russell Wilson in his entire career to turn the ball over seven times like that. Someone has to get well, and if Seattle's defense... You know, the Rams didn't put up the huge numbers like the Bills did, but, you know, the Rams were in control of that game throughout and just, I mean, efficient. Any third down they needed, Goff could find someone to throw to. It really looks like that Seahawks defense is going to be too much for the offense to overcome. And maybe the last 2 weeks are just a sign of how much that's working against them. So I think that I like the Cardinals' momentum. Or a chance to build that momentum here with a huge win over Buffalo and then to get another win a couple of days later over Seattle and sweep the season series. I think they're in position to really make that run. But I'm not sure that the Rams aren't the best built for the long run simply because they run the ball, they play defense, And when they need to, they can get those plays in the air. So I think they have a little bit of everything, whereas I think the Cardinals and Seahawks are still defensively disadvantaged to a point that the Rams might wind up on top.
So give me an idea on Buffalo losing that game. It's a tough loss, obviously, to lose on that last play, but we've been wondering about building up for the Bills. What do you make of them? Is there some positive takeaways that you get for them leaving Arizona despite losing?
Yeah, you know, look, they came up with obviously that late touchdown to Diggs, and it looked like this was going to be another Josh Allen comeback story, and certainly Allen has turned a corner this season, and I think that continues to be the biggest positive, especially a game like Sunday. Like, he threw two interceptions in the second half, but came back and made those big plays late and came up with the plays that put them in a position to win the game. Or they thought. And, I think that's the biggest growth factor. And now you have a bye week. You heal up, get some health, and really can kick it into overdrive for the final six games. I don't think the Dolphins are going away. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out down the stretch. But I think that the Bills are really well positioned to close this out if that Josh Allen keeps showing up. And that Josh Allen, who is, top five quarterback in the league this season. I don't think you can argue otherwise. And if that one keeps showing up, I think they're in really good shape.
Give us an idea on the Dolphins, too, because it's 6-3, and they're winning. I mean, they make a quarterback change. People wonder where that will go. And here they are, one of the teams that's in contention for either the division or one of the wild card spots.
Yeah, and look, I think that move was obviously questioned at the time. They were on a winning streak. They hadn't been playing bad football. Ryan Fitzpatrick hadn't been playing bad football. But I think the last 2 weeks you've seen why they made it. And I think there are upsides to having Tua Tagovailoa into the lineup that weren't there when Fitzpatrick was there. He has an innate sense for the game that is really beyond his years as a rookie quarterback, and he's working with a solid supporting cast of players. And I mean, I think that defense and special teams got slept on because there was so much attention being paid to the quarterback position and when they were going to make that quarterback change. But that defense is really tough, and the special team seems to make one or two plays a week that win games. And there are always teams like that where they win on those margins, and special teams is the biggest place to do that. And for them to continue making plays on that side of the field is an immeasurable advantage as they go into this stretch run.
The Tennessee Titans, they have lost three of their last four. Once were 5-0 playing Pittsburgh, but since then things have gone differently for them, and now tied with the Colts after Thursday night's loss to Indianapolis. Where have the Titans gone wrong?
I think that the Titans, they lost that game last week. You saw a special teams blunder. That's big.
Yep.
Their kicking game's been terrible all season. These are places where they're just leaving points on the table week after week. And on defense, they just don't rush the passer well enough. And I think that makes it very hard to be successful as a defense, because if you get teams into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and can't make them pay for it, then it doesn't do much good that you're a good first down, second down defense, and that you keep teams from running all over you. And, a game like the one last Thursday against the Colts, where, the Colts are, they don't seem to have the same upside as the Titans. They don't seem to have the same overall talent level, but they were, certainly crisper and certainly defensively more buttoned up. And I think that when this season comes to an end, wherever the Titans wind up, the decision not to hire a defensive coordinator is one that I think is going to come a lot of scrutiny for Mike Vrabel, because double duty has not worked out for him.
Yeah,
on
good
that
point. Front. Josh Apple joins us from ProFootballTalk.com. Is it too early? Let's go to Denver. Is it too early on the Drew Lock analysis? Second year in, has not played well at all when he has played this season. People love to go to the John Elway has whiffed on another quarterback line. Is it too early to make that assessment on Drew Lock?
I'd wait till the end of the season, but I think that we just talked about Tua. You could talk about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and guys from last year and so on and so forth, that you want to see some signs that things are moving in the right direction. It's not that there aren't going to be growing pains and moments where things are going poorly, but you want to see these signs where this guy can be this otherworldly quarterback. And for Drew Lock, they just don't show up very often. there are certainly signs that he can be a competent bottom half NFL starter. But the idea that he's a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, a guy who you want to put all your money on outside of that Chargers game. And again, like, this is a Chargers team that chokes against everybody, but outside of that Chargers game, I just haven't seen it. And I think there's no reason to pull the plug now. You want to see as much as you can. And clearly Brett Rypien and Jeff Driskel aren't going to be your quarterbacks of the future, but they're going to need to know going into this offseason what they have at quarterback. And they're going to have a high pick, and who knows how high. You know, the next few weeks will determine that. But I think they really have to know that if Drew Lock's the guy, or if he's a placeholder until you find something better, and if you're going to be in that market for somebody in the offseason, veteran or draft pick, I think you have to leave that door open. Certainly right now, Lock has not answered the question affirmatively.
Pittsburgh 9-0, could be heading to a historic season, could be heading to one of the best records they've ever had, even if they were to lose a game. But where is the Steelers' weakness? Where do you see them, where if they weren't to get to the Super Bowl, or if they weren't able to get to the AFC title game, where would it happen? What aspect of their game will fail them along the way?
Well, you know, I mean, the most obvious one is the run game isn't good, and I think that's hurt them in terms of putting teams away this season. You know, getting up early and then not being able to escape because obviously they've won, but just, you know, win as comfortably as they did against Cincinnati last week, because they can't just run the ball down and grind the ball out. Now, I think that can come around. I think they've had, you know, some injury issues up front on the offensive line, and things can settle in. But you know, that feels like the biggest one right now, is that they just don't seem to be putting good teams away.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for me in the playoffs, if you're playing Kansas City and you do get up on them, you know, remember the way that all those playoff games worked last year for them, and nobody could put them away despite getting up by 10, 15, 20 points. A quick strike offense like that, like Kansas City, I could see coming back against them and making a real run at it. But I don't see them as a team that has like this, that you're not going to have Roethlisberger fall down in a big moment. He's won there too many times. And that defense has just too many playmakers to think that they're going to fold up against any team. Now, Kansas City is, I think that's the matchup you'd want to see. That's the one you haven't seen.
Yep.
We've seen them beat Baltimore. We've seen them beat Tennessee. So I think for me, that's the one, is just showing that you can slam the door on teams once you get up.
Josh, I really appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Josh Alper, again, Pro Football Talk on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, come back. Let's get some thoughts on what he said about some of these teams when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new loan? Rocket can. Also, Josh Alper. Yeah, the Steelers are just, here's the thing, when you're 9-0, or you go 10-0, 11-0, whatever it is, there is a nervousness, and I'll tell you, there's a part, you know, I come at you as a Steeler fan, and then I have to look at it analytically, too. There is a nervousness when you're winning that many games, right? I mean, you know, like, okay, are we dominating? Right? Are we unbeaten, but are we dominating? And if the answer is no, then you know that a really good season could go by, you know, could go off the rails quickly. The Steelers went 15-1. Ben Roethlisberger's first filled in for Tommy Maddox when he got hurt, and they were 15-1, but they lost to the Patriots. I mean, they lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots in the AFC title game, and rather easily too. So sometimes you just run out of gas and you lose at the wrong time. But I think his point about Kansas City is well taken. Remember last year, I mean, the Chiefs were a team that were trailing by a ton to Houston and then came roaring back. It was just every step of the way, Kansas City was able to get back into any game you put them in, any scenario you put them in. Even if you felt like you had them, you never really had them. And Kansas City's 8-1. I mean, there's no difference between 9-0 and 8-1 other than what it says. It does one record doesn't demand dominance over another record. If the Steelers were playing the Jets, of course, you'd say, well, they are a better team than the Jets. But when you're talking about one or two games, that's irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. And that's the thing. You can ride this train of unbeaten all the way to a point, but in the end, what are you in terms of unbeaten? Are you beating everybody by 20 points, 18 points, whatever? If you keep letting teams hang around because you can't quite put them away, and as he mentioned with the running game, if you're in a close game and you get the ball back and you have to punt and give the team another opportunity, the Cowboys had two opportunities late in the fourth quarter to get a score on the board to beat them. You know, the Cowboys felt like they couldn't do it the first time. They gave the ball to the Steelers, and the Steelers gave it right back because they couldn't get enough first downs on the ground trying to grind out the clock. But the Colts can be tricky. The Raiders can be tricky. I mean, these 6-3 teams that are finding their stride and finding their confidence, that's where the danger is, right? You see it a lot, especially in the playoffs, where a team that's really good settles in, has a bye, whatever it is caught off guard by a team. Patriots last year, Ravens last year, two teams that just did not see the Tennessee Titans train coming. Could that be Miami? Could that be Colts? Could that be the Raiders? Could that be Cleveland? You know, could that be not Baltimore per se? You should see Baltimore coming from a mile away, no matter where they are. But could it be one of these 6-3 teams that, when they get to the playoffs, goes, you know what, we're ready to go? If you're Kansas City, I wouldn't be worried. If you're the Steelers, I'd still be a little concerned that if you hang around with the Dolphins, let's say, in the first round of the playoffs or the second round of the playoffs, you could find yourself on the losing end. All right, again, Jake Asman Show coming up next. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. We will see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful Tuesday as we continue along on the Sports Map Radio Network.